I speak a little Kahana mixed with Chinese and Japan and Filipinos. All right, if you have your Bibles tonight, I want you to go to Jude 3. The little book of Jude, not a whole lot of verses there. But we'll just see if the Lord will give us something here tonight that will help us maybe have somewhat of a burden for our nation. I hope that you do as well. If you're able to do it and would like to do it, and that, if you'd stand for the reading of God's Word, we'll begin reading verse 1. And since you haven't done any reading today in the Bible, when we get to verse 3, you read verse 3. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ, and called, mercy unto you, and peace, and love be multiplied.
Beloved, when I gave you all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints.
Father, we thank you for allowing us to assemble here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for already the things that you have given to us. It's been good to lift our voice and praise unto you. For, Lord, thou art worthy of all of the praise that we can be able to give. We thank you, Lord, for the great salvation, as Jude has wrote to about here, to talk about. We thank you, Lord, that we know that you provided a plan that we could be able to have our sins forgiven by, Lord, allowing your Son to die on Calvary's cross. Allowing him, Lord, to be buried and then triumphing over death and coming forth and ascending back to the Father at the right hand. And everything's all right as soon as he's, Lord, there with you. And we got a Savior tonight that is worthy of all of our worship, all of our sacrifice, all of our giving. And we sure do thank you for that. We thank you, our Father, tonight for these that have come. Now, Lord, we do pray you would give them something. Lord, we all are in need. We all have need to, Lord, to be ministered to our hearts and our souls. And I pray that you would, Lord, just grant, Lord, peace and contentment to each one. May you stir our hearts. Lord, we are mindful that we live in a time where that there's a lukewarmness that prevails throughout the body of Christ. And Lord, we don't want to get in that condition. Help us not to. You'll have to help us. We have to fight this old carnal man. And Lord, we want to be victorious over it. And we do ask you to help us. And our Father, tonight we surely do pray and ask you to be with those of our brothers and sisters that are not able to be here. Pray, our Father, for a special touch of your grace and your healing upon them. And now, our Father, here tonight, you know that if anything good shall come out of what I say, it'll have to be, Lord, you giving me the thoughts and giving me the words to say, and I'll thank you for that. Bless each one, and Lord, surely, we are mindful, if there's one here not saved, we are mindful, Lord, in asking you to speak to that one's heart, convict them of their sin and unrighteousness and of judgment to come, and give them, Lord, to let them know you'll give them the faith if they'll step out to believe on you. Now, we love you tonight. We plead the blood. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. But anyway, we'll look at that. I want to look at verse 3, a verse that you're very familiar with, and there just maybe to awaken you to some of the things that maybe that's going on, some things that maybe that you have thought about or haven't thought about. And here he said, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you, the common salvation. Aren't you glad that salvation is pretty common?
Sure.
Aren't you glad that you don't have to be a mathematician or electrician or someone like that to understand it? Aren't you glad that just a simple-minded person, that God makes it so plain, the common salvation for the common man, see? You don't have to be a PhD, or you don't have to be a doctor. You don't have to have a college degree. You can be anyone that's willing to understand that you are lost and that you need to be saved. And God will save you if you'll be still long enough to ask Him. The common salvation, He said, but it's more needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now you ought to get that. The faith which was once delivered unto the saints. We need to be here. He said, now he's writing back in about somewhere in AD 66. The Lord has only been gone about 30 years. Now, Jude is here, brother James, he said, now I'm writing to you that you need to earnestly contend for the faith. That was once delivered. It was given unto the early Christians, the early disciples. Now, what has happened? And as you look, if you've been watching anything in the last few months in the political realm, you know that America has been given over to secular humanism, and that it is no longer, can they be labeled, a Christian nation. We have lost that privilege to call ourselves a Christian nation. We have become a liberal, modernistic nation. And could I say to you today that those of the secular world, those that are atheistic, those that do not believe in God, are now in control of your country. And into that, and here we don't have a whole lot of voice among the body of Christ anymore. Oh, we protest, we stand up with that, but we don't have a whole lot of power anymore to change much in our country. And so we have become into that. We have lost our nation. Why? Because we did not contend for the faith that was once delivered. We, that our forefathers would, when they wrote the Constitution, when they set up here to that, to govern this country, they knew some things that was going to take place, and they knew that they had to be overseen. They knew that they had to be stepped into practice. They tried to forge a constitution that would keep our country in the view of God. We, the First Amendment, isn't that we are to be able to worship the Lord our God. But we've thrown that aside. We've lost that. We only can do what the government allows us to do. We found that out here in the virus. That we can only go to church when the government says you can go to church. In California, in a lot of places, right now, God's people cannot go to church. Did you ever think you would live to see that day when you cannot go to church? Oh, you say, well, preacher, there's a virus that's very deadly. Oh, well, yeah, it is. There's also, there is a verse that says it's appointed unto a man once to die, and after that, the judgment. It also says into that we, as Bible-believing Christian, it ought to be that, hey, that we say that we trust God and that we believe that God is able to do some things that the government can't do. And we have found out the government don't know a bit more about what's going on than we got our president up in the hospital tonight. Now, I'm saying this here. I'm not that I realize that I take precautions every time I come to a crosswalk across the street. I realize somebody could run over me. I realize there's a nut out on the road. If there's not, once I get there, there will be one. I realize that it's dangerous and life-threatening with about anything that you do, James Parks. You go to work every day, don't you? And it is not that there comes a time in your daily life that you could be threatened with your life. And what I'm saying to you and I, what have we done? We have wilted and we have yielded to the oppression and to the powers to be that have put over us. What do we do? We're not contending for the faith. Now what happened? We find out that we have lost our nation to the secularist, to the liberalist, and to the atheist. We have lost our colleges. Oh, you say, now, preacher, you're getting, you mean you, we are college? I'm saying to you tonight, your colleges are under secular humanistic control tonight, and they are no longer Christian. I don't care what they go under, what denomination that they may be, whether into that, they now, you've got to, that your colleges are under this, form of government that wants to change everything that our country has stood for, and they do not want God in the picture. We gave up that. You find that the universities, the college are anti-God. They are liberal, and by law and by legislation and by court decision, we have bowed at no altar, and we have called on the name of no God. We have surrendered. We no longer can we pray in our public. No longer can we read and God's word in our schools. Go down here and try to read. I want to take a here and have an assembly and read God's word. It used to be. It used to be that we have that would have chapel services in our schools. Oh, you can have a little group over here, maybe over there, but you can't have that whole assembly together for a chapel service. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing that God is no longer in the schools in a way that it used to be? Because we have, whether we like it or not, we didn't contend very much. Our generation, the generation behind us, we did not contend for the faith that was once delivered on some things that God gave us. And now we're suffering the judgment on that. People say, well, you know, we're just waiting for the rapture. Oh, come on. Everybody likes for the rapture to come, but we can't sit around and just say, well, I'm going to stick my head down in the hole here, and then I'll just wait for the rapture to come. God's going to deliver me. Hey, you might be left with your head in the hole. We're in a time to where that Christian people, when it comes maybe time to stand, that we're going to hide behind skirt tails and stuff like that. We no longer have a play. I mean, you can't even go down here and try to place a nativity scene on the courtyard. Can you do that, James? Oh, I'd say you can't. Especially if you go out to some of these California, New York, you try to place a nativity scene, and you'll get brought before the judge. I'm saying tonight here that we as a nation. I watched some of the debate, and I had to end up turning it off. I felt that it was more hurtful than it was helpful to me. I felt that here two grown men ought to be able to, that folks wanting to be leaders, ought to exercise more grace than they did. I get so put out when nobody is willing to give God credit for anything. So. You say, well, preacher, are you talking about my candidate? If it's your candidate, I guess I'm talking about it. I'm talking about my candidate is the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm standing for Him. And if you're not with me on that, then you're not my candidate. Right. I don't see how, you know, some things into that. The truth concerning the Scripture. We have come, we ought to contend that the Word of God is still inspired. You still believe, don't you, that the Word of God that you hold in your hand is under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God? You still believe that it's without error? You still believe that it's God's Word, don't you? You still believe you're going to be judged by it, don't you? It says the inerrant, Proverbs 30 says, in 2 Timothy he said that the Word of God is here that we're to study it. You find that the Word of God is infallible. Oh, you can't believe the Bible anymore. I hear this quite often in secular realms. You're just using the Bible for a crutch. Well, it's a pretty good crutch. It'll keep you upright if you'll stay with it. It won't let you fall if you'll hang on to it. It's a sure better crutch than a lot of things I've seen. You tell me what else that can give me. You say, well, boy, I tell you what, if we put all the gasoline cars off the market, off the streets, we'll go green and that'll be a good crutch. Oh, good night. Wake up and get real. I guess some of these people that think that they've got some grand ideals, that we can be able to get rid of the cows and not have to worry about. Now, you vegetarian, bless your heart, we're not getting rid of the cows. But that's what some folks are like, to get rid of the cows, not because of the meat and of that, but because of all of the odor that they leave out. That's a pollute in the air. And all of this stuff, that's the, the fires out in California and Oregon, those are pollutions now. Those are what is throwing some stuff. You don't hear a whole lot about that, though. But more poor old cow. And that, what I'm saying is, into that, the Word of God is still our light. It still directs our paths. And the contend for the Word of God tonight, folks. Contend that you've got the Scriptures in your hand, that, and God has given you a King James Bible that it will be able to lead and guide us in the way, in the direction that God would have us to go. And if our president and our other senators and our other congressmen would get their nose in the Bible and get their heart right with God, they would see some things that needs to be the direction that they need to go at, and quit to trying to put themselves upon the pedestal and take credit for what they're doing. I don't like a braggart. I don't like somebody's got to, you got to brag on everything that they do. If I make a, if I bring a cake, I want it to be, I want somebody to say something nice about it. You say, well, did anybody do that? Well, Sharon would probably. I don't know. You take it. We got to be recognized. I did it. Well, you may have done it, but did God give you some help in that?
Right.
So I'm saying tonight, real quickly, truths concerning the Scripture. Look at Matthew 24:35, just real quickly here. Now look what he said. Behold, I have told you before. Who's talking there? The Lord's talking that. Verse 3, he says, for there shall arise false Christs, false prophets, and they shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive even the very elect. And then he said, behold, I have told you so. What did he tell you? All through the Word of God. Through the Scripture, you get into the prophets, you get into the Psalms, you get into the Pentateuch, you get into that. God has told us and warned us. The false Christ are going to rise. Jude said into that, I'm warning you, I called here, I'm going to talk about, but he said there's some things that is coming here that I need to exhort you, for there are certain men crept in unawares. Oh my soul, who were before were ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men. And the wolves in sheep's clothing, they come in looking like a sheep. But boy, they got a wolf's heart, and to devour the flock. I said, say to you that to hear the truths concerning the Scripture, truths concerning the Savior, his virgin birth. We don't hear much, a whole lot about that anymore. Christmas time. At Christmas, we talk about him being born of the Virgin Mary. But hey, can I say to you that he's just born today as he was back in December? Could I say to you today that he ought to be a reminder to you that that what God did, the victorious, virtuous life, Hebrews 4:15, you're right there close to that. He said this, neither is there any creature that is not verse 15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. A virtuous life. Our Savior did not sin. Into that, his vicarious death in Hebrews 2:9 there. Just flip back a page or two. He said this, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Whose side are you on tonight? You say, preacher, I believe in the Lord. I believe I'm a child of God. Well, are you standing on God's side? Are you getting over onto the world side occasionally? Are you trying to straddle the fence into that Hebrews 9:22? talks about the vital blood in Hebrews 9:22. He said, in almost all things by the law are purged with blood. Now get this. And without the shedding of blood is no remission. And it here you find here that God required the shedding of blood for the sacrifice for your sins and mine. And what are you getting down to? Are you going to sell him out? Contend for the faith. Do you believe by faith that he died unto that as they come in here as a virgin birth, that he died as lived a virtuous life, and he died a vicarious death, and that his blood was the vital blood that God accepted as atonement for our sins? Do you believe into that his visible return? We say we believe that one day that he's coming back. There in Acts 1:11, the same angel said, this same Jesus you see going up, he's coming back. We have a Savior that's going to return one day. And so I say to you, the truths concerning the Scripture, truths concerning the Savior, and the truths concerning the saints. We're saved by grace through faith plus nothing. We're sons in God's family in John 1 John 3. I've got to hurry here. Into that. And we're sheep in His fold in Psalm 100. That. And then we're servants in His field in Matthew 21. I'm saying to you tonight, truths concerning the saints, truths concerning the Savior, and truths concerning the Scripture are things that we ought to contend for as we see the day approaching, as we live the day that we have, the time before that our country has given itself over to humanistic things, to secular world and to decisions, and we no longer have the voice that we ought to have in things that is holy and righteous and that our nation needs to be surrendered to. So it says to us tonight, Jude, as he said, contend for the faith that was once delivered. Contend, for there are certain men crept in, and boy, they done got in. They done got in. They got into high places. It just bothers me that people go around saying, well, I'm saved, and I believe the Bible, I believe that God saved me, and acting like that there's nothing that's ever changed in their life. I don't know who to believe. I got Nancy Pelosi on one end over here. Oh, I'm a great Catholic. And I've got Joe Biden over here. I'm an Irish Catholic. And I got Donald Trump over here saying I'm a Presbyterian. Where in the world is any Baptist at? We got any Baptists up there? That's what they're all this country tonight, folks. We don't have any Bible-believing Baptists that are making decisions. What's under that? So I better quit. I done got some of you upset. On that, folks, it's real. And could I say to you tonight that we ought to be mindful of what's going on around us. We ought to be mindful of those that support the abortion crowd. We ought to be mindful of those that would sell out your freedom to go to church and to worship God. You ought to be mindful of those that want to teach your little children things that against God, against the Bible. They're doing it. They'll try to destroy the faith in these little kids by wicked and worldly teachers that sits before our children. We're living in a wicked world, folks. We're living in a time to where that Jesus said that they'll wax worse and worse. We're living in a time to where that we believe in the return of the Lord, but before the Lord returns, we believe that there will be a time of judgment upon this world. These folks are not going to get by with it. The day is going to come when God is going to pour His wrath out upon this whole world. The day is going to come when there's going to be a time to where that the nations will have to repent and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. One day every knee is going to bow. Right. And every tongue. I say to you tonight, whose side are you going to stay on? As I said before, it's not easier to quit than to to serve. Contend for the faith that was once delivered. And why say you walk by faith? You got saved by faith. You're to walk by faith. You're to live by faith. And into that and trust in God. By faith. I never saw him hang on the cross. I never saw him take him down and put him in that tomb. I never saw him after 3 days and three nights that he came to the tomb and the stone was rolled away and he was gone. I didn't see him when he came back and met with the disciples and showed them, here, check my hands out, see the prints. Come here, Thomas, and put your hand in my side. I never saw him stand by the seaside, be able to, hey, let's come and dine with me. Coming down Colby Road, though, but I did sing that song. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I got to thinking about that day when those pearly gates are going to be opened. To be able to just to walk down the streets of gold, not have to have a limp, not to have any deadness in my leg, not to have any coughing spell, not to be able to just to have a time that will be a glorious time. And we'll be able to sing, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. And can I say to you tonight, don't grow discouraged, but encourage yourself as David of old in the Lord. Let's stand, please.